Guess what question teachers ask me most frequently about Chapter 10 of the Dragonfly book? Why did you cover mitosis and leave out meiosis? This is Ken Miller, and I figure I should tell you why. I've often found that when mitosis and meiosis are taught in sequence and out of context, students often confuse the two of them. After several years of experimenting with different ways to present both processes, I realized that students make sense out of meiosis only when it is presented in the context of genetics and gamete formation. So that's how I organize these topics in the Dragonfly book. Chapter 10, as you will see, focuses exclusively on cellular growth and reproduction, while meiosis, including gamete formation and sexual reproduction, is reserved for the first chapter on genetics, Chapter 11. So how did we organize Chapter 10? As you'll see, the chapter has three sections. The first explains why cells need to divide, and the second shows how they do it, while the third section tells students how the process is controlled and why that matters. All of these elements will help students to explore the cellular basis of life, one of the big ideas of biology. First things first. I'm convinced that successful teachers often work by using analogies, and I've opened the chapter by comparing a growing cell to a small town. As the town gets larger, essential services like its library become more and more stressed, until finally, it may reach a point where it makes sense to build another library, or in the cell's case, a point where it makes sense to divide. It is important, of course, that students understand this mathematically, so we've sketched out a simple numerical argument that I know they will understand. There's also an excellent quick lab that uses hard-boiled eggs to make the point that as a cell gets larger, diffusion cannot keep up with its internal demands. When we introduce students to cell division, we ask them to consider what happens to chromosomes during the cell cycle. Understanding that chromosomes are duplicated during S phase helps them to understand why mitotic chromosomes appear as two chromatids during mitotic metaphase. There are a couple of great resources online to help students with this concept. Be sure to try the Cell Cycle Active Art exercise with your students, and I know they will enjoy the data sharing exercise as well. In the Teacher's Edition, there are two great notes from our teacher-to-teacher panel, and I think you'll find their suggestions helpful in getting through to your own classes. I regard the message in the final section of this chapter as one of the most important lessons students can take home from Chapter 10. The reason is because it helps students to understand how basic biological concepts, such as mitosis and the cell cycle, directly affect their lives. I always emphasize to my students that there actually are diseases that result from failure to control the cell cycle. And they already know the names of many of these diseases. They are called cancers. There, in a flash, is why biology matters. Scientific understanding, put this way, literally becomes a matter of life and death. That ought to get their attention. Finally, be sure to look over the issues page I wrote on stem cells. Embryonic stem cell research is a controversial issue, and I made no effort to hide that fact. Instead, I told students right up front that such research involves serious ethical and moral issues and invited them to visit our website, where we've provided links to more resources on both sides of this important issue. I'm sure your students have heard about these issues outside the classroom. And if you can channel those energies to get them to master the biology of cell growth and cell division, you'll be in great shape as your students move forward to the study of genetics and molecular biology. Have a great time, and thanks for listening.